testifying tonight and sharing your heart with us. My heart has truly been encouraged and uplifted and blessed. And I praise the Lord for God's people testifying unto the Lord's goodness. In my devotional reading, I've been reading through the New Testament, and I try to read through the book that I'm preaching through, which is on Wednesday night. We're going through the book of Galatians, and I was taught as a young Christian, it's good to just read the book or the passage that you're studying. Just read it a lot, and so I'll do that, and then I'll go through and read some other of the Pauline epistles. And one morning in my devotional reading, I came to this section of Scripture, and it really struck me. And so I want to share it with you. I've been kind of holding off a little bit until tonight, pondering some of the things. And I just have some thoughts I want to give you. Colossians chapter 1. You've been sitting for a while. If you would just stand and we'll read this passage of Scripture, and then I want to give you a few thoughts on it that God gave to me. We'll begin in verse 9. The Apostle Paul begins a prayer for the church, the believers there at Colossae. And he says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." And here's where I want to take my text and make a few thoughts. Verse 12, 13, and 14. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good testimonies of your people tonight, just to hear what you are doing in the hearts and lives of your people has certainly encouraged each one of us tonight. We have certainly sensed your presence. And God, we all know that we have so much to be thankful for. Help us to realize it's not enough to realize this. Help us to realize that we must act upon it. God, that we must live a life that reflects a thankful heart, a thankful spirit. And so I pray that you would help me and help us to be a thankful people. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Let me give you just a few things tonight, okay, if I could. And I just want to give you a few things. I know that tomorrow, most of you, as our family, we have big things planned. You know, Thanksgiving is a time, it's a great time to get together with family and friends, and there'll be a lot of eating, no doubt. And, we're thankful for the bountiful supply of food that God will probably bless every one of us with. There'll be a bountiful supply. There'll be a lot of feasting. And no doubt there'll be family. There'll be family that some you maybe haven't seen or gotten an opportunity to sit with for some time. And you'll have that opportunity tomorrow. And that's a good thing. And I trust that would be a joyous occasion for you. And if it's not, if there's some conflict or some division in your family, I pray that God would use tomorrow's gathering to help you iron those things out so that there might be peace in your home and in your heart. There'll also be, well, there'll be football. Football is kind of something that people will gather. You say, I don't watch football. Well, you know, I do. I watch a little football on Thanksgiving. And if you don't watch football, you'll have something else to do. But people will be watching football tomorrow. I heard a story, and I want to be serious, but I heard this story, and I thought it was kind of comical about a guy. No one could ever accuse me of being too serious about football, but I do enjoy football. Now, there are some people that take it too serious. I mean, like this fella at the Super Bowl. And a young man had won a ticket to the Super Bowl, and he thought, man, he won his ticket, and he got to the arena where the Super Bowl was going to be played, and it was way up high. He thought, good grief, you know, what kind of ticket is this to give away? And so he began searching to see if he could find a seat closer to the action, to the field, and he saw an aged gentleman sitting way down up toward the field, and there was an empty seat beside him. And so he went up to the fella, and he said, sir, he said, is there someone sitting in this seat? And he said, nope. And he said, this seat's not taken. Nope. He said, you think that I could sit here? He said, I know you can. He said, used to be my wife's. We've been to every Super Bowl. And he said, but my wife's passed on now. And she won't be able to attend this one with me. He said, well, I'm sorry to hear that, sir. He said, you sure you don't mind me sitting down? He said, nope, have a seat. I'd enjoy your company. So he sat down there, and he thought, and he said, well, sir, he said, if you don't mind me asking, he said, do you have any family or friends left that maybe you could have invited to sit at? I mean, you have an empty seat here. I mean, this is a great seat. He said, no. He said, they're all at the funeral. And so we like football, but we don't take it that serious. Amen. But tomorrow, there'll be family and friends and a little football. And I trust that each one of us would reflect on, well, God's been good to us. He's been good. He's given us far more than we deserve. And I think all of us can testify to that. And as I heard each one of you testify, I thought, you know, we all do have more than we could even name to give thanks for. But I thought about what Paul said, and this is what I want you to notice. Look, if you would, in this section of Scripture where he said, giving thanks unto the Father. You know, when we give thanks, there's someone, and I thought about this, that we ought to give thanks to. We give thanks unto God the Father. Now, what am I going to thank God for? You've heard it here tonight. We have so much to thank Him for. But notice what Paul said. He's encouraging these Christians. He said, I'm praying for you. And he said, I'm praying that you would be as I, that you would learn to give thanks, in verse number 12, unto God the Father. For what? Well, if you'll read on, you'll see that he mentioned his dear son. Look, if you would, the latter part of verse number 13, the kingdom of his dear son. I do thank God for Jesus. You know, of all the things that I'm thankful for, and I'm thankful for much, I want to thank God the Father for His Son. God gave us His Son, brethren. God gave up His only begotten Son. There's no greater thing that we could give thanks for. You know, really, if that was all God gave us, that would be more than enough. This year, when you're with your family and you're giving thanks, or you slip away and spend a little time alone and you're giving thanks, give God thanks for His dear Son. God, I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you for the greatest gift I've ever received in life, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. I heard in testimony after testimony after testimony how Jesus has changed your life. Jesus has changed my life. Jesus changes lives. Aren't you glad of that? And so Paul said, and we all know that Paul loved to tell how Jesus changed his life. He always gives that Damascus Road experience. And Paul never, he never let an opportunity go by without giving God the Father thanks for his dear son. And so this Thanksgiving, God help me and God help you not to forget in all the midst of giving thanks and all that'll be going on to just simply say, God, I want to thank you for your dear son. I want to thank you for Jesus. He made it all possible. What would we do without Jesus, brethren? Where would we be? Where would we be? And so let's give thanks for Jesus. Now, Paul, as he often did, didn't stop at that. What else did he say? Well, he said not only give thanks for his son, but notice as a part of that in verse number 12, he said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. You know, within that package that God has given us of eternal life, there's an inheritance in that. Just to think about all that awaits us. You know, there's a song that used to be saying, won't it be wonderful over there? Amen. Having no burdens to bear. Brethren, we're going to a place that our minds cannot comprehend. Paul said, eye hath not seen or ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And so he said in verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. We were not fit for the kingdom. We were not fit for the inheritance. We were not part of the family. We lost that through Adam. But thank God, the last Adam, Jesus, has made us meet because he saved us. He done what was needful. Now we are partakers of the inheritance. There's no way, and not only just in the time we have, but I think I could probably exhaust what little knowledge I have of that inheritance, and there would be so much more. Sometimes we lose sight of all that waits on us. We get so bogged down. And the next, starting tomorrow, the next 6 weeks to 8 weeks, if you're not careful, you'll get so bogged down in what you didn't get to buy or who you didn't get to see or some dramatic situation in your family that you'll forget. This is not where it's at, brethren. This is not where it's at. We are to set our affection on things above. We are a part of an inheritance. And so he said, I want to give thanks for God's dear son. And I want to give thanks for the inheritance that he hath made us meet, in verse number 12, to be a partaker of. And then watch this, and I heard this over and over tonight, and it blessed my heart, of the saints in light. He said, I'm thankful for my Christian family. You know I am too. And I heard it out of just about every one of your mouths tonight. You are too. Well, I tell you, we Christians can be hard and sometimes we can do some not so kind things. But I just personally believe that we're the greatest people on earth. Amen. I love my church family. I love the brethren. I love the brethren. Listen, I know sometimes I can be difficult. You can be difficult. We can be a little hard, you know, to coexist and for a long period of time in a small area. But aren't you glad that as brethren that we have some things that are mutual, that we have some things that the world just doesn't know about? We can talk about these things and fellowship around these things, and we can rejoice in these things. And so Paul said, I'm thankful to God the Father. So when you're giving thanks, Paul said, this is the way I do Thanksgiving. Amen. Paul knew nothing about the pilgrims. Paul knew nothing about why they came to this country, why Thanksgiving was started. And you've read why. You know why it was started in this country. And I'm glad that it was. Paul knew nothing about that. Thanksgiving didn't start with the pilgrims. Amen. It didn't. I'm thankful for that. Don't misunderstand me. I'm thankful that people searching for religious freedoms and liberties were able to come here. I'm grateful for that. But Paul said, I'm thankful to God the Father for some things that though the pilgrims, Paul didn't know about them, they knew something about what Paul was giving thanks for. That's why they came here. Amen. They were giving thanks to God, God the Father. And they were saying, God, thank you for your dear son and the kingdom that he's made available to us. Paul was saying, God, thank you for that inheritance. And he said, God, thank you for the saints, good spiritual family, people that I can fellowship with. You know, if you're not taking advantage of, and you are, you're here tonight, and most of you are here regularly, every Christian ought to take advantage of a good local church. That, what an opportunity it is. What an opportunity that God has given us. Now I want to say a couple more things about this passage of Scripture. Not only did he give thanks to the Father for these things, but look in verse number 13. He began to say, you know, and I thank Jesus for what he has done. Notice, see that word who? He said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's something, isn't it? I could go, listen, do you realize what he's saying? Satan has no more, listen, he has no more power over you. Satan has no more power over you. That doesn't mean that, listen, when I sin, I choose to. I have an Adamic nature. But Satan can't, listen, he can't control me because I have the Holy Spirit living in me, and you do too as a believer. And here's what he said. He said that God bought us and he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. What wording. Brethren, we're no longer of this world. See, Satan is the god of this world. We're in this world, but we're no longer of this world. Oh no. No, our home is far beyond this place. Amen? Do you understand what Paul was saying? We need to give thanks. I'm glad that this is not all there is. Don't misunderstand me. I thank God for life. It's a gift from God. I thank God for all that I have in this life, and I've heard it enumerated over and over in here tonight, and I, like you, am thankful for those things. But I'm thankful that this is not all that there is. I'm thankful that it's all of this and heaven too. Amen. It gets sweeter. It gets sweeter. We ought to thank God for that. And so Paul said, I want to thank God that he's delivered us from the power of darkness. You know, I don't have to sneak out and snort anything or drink anything or smoke anything to escape everything. Aren't you glad that that's gone? It's gone. Don't have to live a lie. Listen to me. God has delivered us. I don't know what God delivered you from, but every person that gets saved, God delivered you. God has delivered us. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Brethren, we're children of light. We're children of the day. You're either one or the other. I'm glad I'm on God's side, aren't you? Amen. And he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Here's the final thing. We're not only thankful to God, but we're thankful for these things. And then he said, here's how it's all possible. And I was thinking about this. This is what makes it all possible. I heard a man say several years ago, and it just, listen, I was a young Christian when I heard it. And I'm glad for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful. You know, you can be sitting and you can be listening. And somebody can say something that's not biblical. Just don't say it. Don't say it well. You know what I'm talking about? You're sitting and you're listening. Somebody says something like this. Jesus could have drowned and still purchased our eternal salvation. Immediately the Holy Spirit said, don't you listen to that man. That is not right. And so I quit listening to him. I've never listened to him again. And I won't. Many of you know who that is and you remember when it happened. He's a well-known author and speaker. He's still alive. I will not listen to him ever again because that is not biblical. This is what the Scripture says that we ought to give thanks for. Right here. In whom we have redemption, not through his drowning, not through his good life, not through his exemplary life, in whom we have redemption. You know what the word redemption means? To be bought back. To be bought back. He's our kinsman redeemer. In whom we have redemption through his blood. When you put that word, dear son, and you put that together, blood, God was willing. No wonder Paul said, I want to thank God the Father that he gave his dear son to suffer and bleed and die that I might inherit and be translated into some things that God has for me. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, sin does so much to people. As a pastor, I see it all the time. You see it. It affects people, not just spiritually, physically, emotionally, even financially. Sin is very taxing. It takes its toll. But I'm glad that God is willing to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Could you imagine living life with your sin burden on you? Never having the sin burden relieved. I'm thankful that God, through Jesus, forgives me of my sin. Aren't you? Aren't you? So, this was Paul's way of having Thanksgiving. He said, I want to thank God the Father. And I want to thank him for his dear son. And I want to thank him for the inheritance. I want to thank him for his saints, the believers. And I want to thank Jesus for willingly. Don't you think for a moment that God forced Jesus to come? He came willingly, voluntarily, of his own volition. And he willingly laid down his life. So I want to thank God the Son. I want to thank Jesus for doing that. Thank you, Lord. You didn't have to do it, but you did it. He said, no man taketh my life. No man. He willingly gave it. And I want to thank God's Holy Spirit for giving me insight to see things that I ought to be thankful for. I don't even have enough of what it takes to know what I ought to be thankful for. But God's Holy Spirit helps me. And I thank him for that. Let's all stand. I appreciate your testimonies tonight.